join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich.
Welcome back to the Goodbye Poor, Hello Rich show. It's lovely to speak to you again. It's lovely to be here. It's been a whirlwind. We are midway through August. Over here in the UK, we're about 3 weeks deep into the school summer holidays. And when you've got multiple children, how, even if you've got one child, how, even if you've got dogs, this time of year is carnage because it's boiling hot. And in the UK, we're not used to being boiling hot. Everywhere is busy, whether you go to town or the cinema or a swimming pool or something that's social. The kids are driving themselves up the wall, which then in turn is driving you up the wall. And it is a lesson in patience and resilience in itself, especially when we talk about our own life, not just e-commerce, which is also a lesson in patience and resilience. We're having a lovely time. We really are. We've been away. When I say we've been away, we are still in that phase where we're not yet ready to spend the money that we're making because we don't want it to affect our cash flow. That's vital. Turns out £100,000 isn't very good when it comes to cash flow in Amazon sales. Anyway, that's another conversation for another day. We went up to see my in-law family, which are from the Midlands, and we had a lovely time there because when you're in the Midlands, you're about an hour from everything. So we did Alton Towers. We did the big theme park. We did some swimming pool stuff. We love going swimming. We also did a big, big shopping centre thing. They got a big thing up around in Dudley called Merry Hill, also known as Merry Hell. And we like going up there from time to time and doing a bit of shopping. So that's what we did this week. Things are kind of settling down. Quitting your job and starting the summer holidays, in hindsight, probably wasn't the best. Because I want to hit the ground running. I want to say, right, now I've got my time back. I want to implement these ideas. And man alive, have I got some ideas. But the important thing is you want to spend the summer holiday with your children. And it comes with that moral conflict. Yes, my children are the very reason I'm doing this. However, my children are also the thing that are going to slow me down the most. You got to go into this knowing that the crazy conundrum in your head is going to mess with you. It really is. But it's been a lovely time. It's been a lovely time. And here I am still able to record the podcast, still able to get the podcast out. And here we are. We are episode 53, I believe. We have made it to a full calendar year. Every single week on a Thursday, except that little period between Christmas and New Year, where I know none of you are listening anyway, because you've got better things to do. But we did it. And it goes back to our episode last week with Ash, when he basically said 99% of all podcasts don't make it past 20 odd episodes. We knew we needed to be persistent. And when we say we, I'm sorry, it's me. I know I'm the one that's responsible for sitting here with a microphone and my bullet points that I can talk to you with. It's then me that sends it to my editor. My editor then sends it back. I give it a final run through. I'm the one that puts the music on the background and everything and builds the intro together and then uploads it to the platform. I say we because it's just something that's easier to say, isn't it? However, nothing can beat the action. We're going to get into this later. Let's get into the episode, shall we? First of all, this episode is a beauty. We're speaking with Luke Toll. Luke Toll is over in Toledo, Ohio. He runs Dextech. Dextech is a specific high-end, high-concept, high-level IT interface to help with high-end Shopify stores. They do website design. They do advanced coding and development, SEO technical optimization, high-end speed optimization, conversion rate optimization, user experience, user interface enhancements, Shopify consulting, the full range. Now, I know that this is a level of e-commerce and a level of technical ability that we here on our show haven't yet met. But the story from Luke is unreal. Let me quickly break this down for you. I tend to get emails, a lot of them, from people setting up their clients to come on my show. It's amazing how this has happened, but it's a thing. Funnily enough, it was Luke that told me that my name, this show, is on a list of people. So assistants and agents will pepper me now because I'm on the list. How lovely is that? So I had a little look, because I do have a look at everything when people send me through potential names to speak to, because my first thought is, okay, what can I talk to Luke about without being well out of my depth? Because let's face it, I'm not anything to do with UX, UI interface enhancements. But you go on the website, and I'm going to pop it in the show notes. How could you not relate to Luke? A working dad, a guy that came out of the wilderness of a corporate world and got into his own e-commerce business, played to his strengths, and made it. On top of that, he used to play football when he was a kid. Soccer. So I thought, you know what? I can talk to this guy. We've got plenty to talk about. So we had a conversation. And my God, our stories are just insanely similar in so many ways. And I want to use this episode as an example to show you it doesn't have to be Amazon. My God, a lot of people find me through this Amazon thing, but we are more than that. We always have been. And I want to highlight that you can be a nerd who is brilliant at IT that works in a completely different field on building your own platforms to do with dropshipping, and you have got a place in my world because we all have the same traits. I'm going to let you listen to this story. The headline, Luke was $165,000 in debt before he got going. Failure wasn't an option. Failure, in fact, was a necessity. Because how do you improve if you don't fail? Luke knew that. He embraced it. And he's paid all of that off and then some. And now he's flying. Such a lovely guy. Such a relatable guy. Trust me, the same things that Luke faces in his world are the same things that we face here. Because it's not about Amazon. It's not about the bleeding platform. It's about the entrepreneur spirit. It's about the things that you need to drive you to make success. It's confidence in yourself. It's knowing that failure is coming. It's having faith, whether that's in God, whether that's in the universe, whether that's in Zeus. It doesn't matter. Faith, action, a leap of faith, confidence, knowing that failure is coming, the will to know that there's a better life out there for you, and then how to manage your marriage in the background. And your relationship with your children as a father, a wife, a husband, a spouse, a partner, doesn't matter. These are all relatable. They're universal. Because here I am, a guy in Brighton, England, chatting to a guy in Toledo, Ohio, and we have so much in common. Before we get into the interview, I also want to talk to you about Selleramp, our amazing sponsors. Always grateful for Selleramp SaaS to be part of this show. This Saturday, 17th of August, we are having a networking event in Nottingham. That's in England as well, by the way. Al and Alison are over from Texas, but they're over in the UK. So while they're here, they're hosting a thing. I'm going to be there. Ahmed Shakouri, who was here a couple of weeks ago, he's going to be there. We've got a few from my group who set my mentoring course. They're going to be there. It's going to be a great event. I'm going to put the link down in the show notes so you can sign up. You do need to sign up before you attend because of numbers and everything like that. But we are calling, it is last knock-ins. Trust me, do it as soon as you can if you do want to come along. It'll be great to see you. Let's get into the interview. I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy. Luke, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I'm going to really, really enjoy this interview. This interview with you, even though we've gone sort of UK to North America before, it's always been in sort of Amazon space. In speaking with you and meeting you, we are branching out into a wider e-commerce space, and I'm really excited for it. So thank you for taking your time out and coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure, Des. It's been good chatting with you even beforehand and just getting to know you more. And I don't know anybody in the UK, so this is pretty interesting for me and pretty fun. And yeah, nothing I've ever really done before. So it's been awesome meeting with you and learning more about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, likewise. I love it. So let's get into it. Tell us your story. Tell us how you got started, the path that you chose, the e-commerce sort of strand that you found yourself walking down, and what it was that sort of triggered you into that world.
Yeah. So basically, I have a very classic, maybe it's classic American or just classic background, where grew up in suburban America. So we have a bunch of like neighborhoods and good schooling. And so I grew up saying, hey, you're going to go to college, you're going to get a job, and that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to kind of do the normal thing. And so I did, right? I did the normal thing, got a really good education. Actually, it was very blessed in high school. So like the first couple of years of college was a little bit of a refresher for me. So like even the first couple of years of college, I could kind of blow off and not really have to study too much and kind of get away with a lot more than I should have been able to do. But so yeah, I basically graduated and I got a job straight out of school, just like most kids. This is actually during, what was it, 2010? This is like a couple years after like the whole financial fiasco in 2008 here. I don't know if that happened in the UK or not, but in the States here, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
It was everyone was like, the economy is going to crash. And like the economy was in really bad shape because they were doing those really sketchy mortgages. Yeah. And writing it for anybody and everybody that could, write something. So anyway, like there was definitely a lot of fear in the market about, oh, hopefully you get a job, right? You're not going to get a job. I think I might be worse now, honestly. But there was definitely a lot of fear in the market. But I thankfully got a job and basically started out doing customer service. I was doing like a rotational program, or at least that was the idea. And then basically after like 2-3 months at the service desk, so answering customers' phone calls or internal, like people had issues at the company internally with their devices, their computer, et cetera, we'd answer the call. And it was a fun time. We finally got hired into like the main company. So like we were at the service desk, got hired to the main company. That's where I got introduced to more. I had an IT background already. That's what I graduated school with, information systems degree, basically. It was from the business school. So I knew some business as well. But basically went through the corporate ladder. So I did a data job for about 5 years at that company doing SAP. I don't know if you're familiar with SAP or not. It's an enterprise.
Yes.
It's actually more of a way to manage the whole business from a single application.
Right.
So it does your accounting. It does your inventory. It does your production. It does everything.
Right. Okay.
And that the whole point is a lot of these companies don't do a good job with managing their data because every single department is using a different system. The point of this tool is to actually manage the whole business like from a single tool. So everything talks to each other. When you make a sale, that sale gets put into production and then inventory gets taken away. And then it factors in how much money do we make? How much did it actually cost us to make this thing? How much did we charge the customer? It's all basically automated because it's all interconnected into that single application. Right. But basically, that's what I did for like 5 years. I got bored. I get bored very easily. This is like kind of my shtick. And I'm sorry if this is a longer story than y'all.
No, like, honestly, I'm relating to so much of this, Luke. This is crazy. Yeah, but go on, carry on.
So like the first 3 years, I think I was lost, didn't know what I was doing, completely just MIA. And then I wisened up. There was a consulting firm there and I'm like, yo, these guys are killing it. I can do what they do. I'm like, I know what they know because I'd been training on the job basically for a while. Yeah. And I'm like, I could do that. So then I started looking at consulting firms, got hired by Ernst & Young. About 5 years after I graduated, did that for two and a half years. And I was pushing for promotions. And what ended up happening is they told me, hey, you got promoted. 2 months later, this guy pings me, hey, we're going to have to get on the phone with HR really quick. Can you jump on? And I'm like, this can't be good. This, I don't know what's going on here, but I didn't have any clue. And they're like, yeah, that promotion we told you you're getting, that was actually a mistake by your boss and you're not getting that promotion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had been pushing. I felt like I was like, I'm not much of a rubbing elbows with the big wigs and the executives and things like that. I just get stuff done. I'm a doer. I'm a producer. That's what I do. But I'm not very political. I don't make connections just for fun. I don't go to networking events. I make connections that, you know, where it's more organic, it's more in natural and it's not forced. Yeah. That's just kind of my nature. So, which is bad in probably many different ways. That's just how I operate. I'm more about doing the work than I am about like, who can I get to know and like figure out how to make my way to the top? It's like, no, I'm just going to keep producing.
Hard work.
So
stuff. It takes too much mental energy, doesn't it?
It does. And it also feels very awkward for me because I'm like, we all know why we're in here. Like we're forcing connections. And I'm like, it just feels a little gross. It's different if like, if I were to go like an e-commerce event, it'd probably be a bit different because it's more like, hey, what are you doing? What are you up to? It's more about getting exposure. At companies, it always felt a little like gross to me where I'm like, this doesn't really, or maybe it's just a younger like self of me because I can kind of see the benefits now.
Well, maybe, but now you're doing it because you've got a view as to why and you're choosing. It's, you know, it's like the family you choose, not the family you've got. And it's one of those, isn't it?
That's fair. That is a very good point. Yeah. Because I'm wondering, because I'm like, if I were invited to an e-commerce thing, I'd probably go and enjoy it and just be exploratory about it. But yeah, I felt a bit forced. But anyway, so I didn't get it. And I was like, okay, fine. Like I was actually so upset. I actually wasn't mad. One of those like mads. And I'm like, fine. Like I'll just go get it from somewhere else. So I looked around a bit more and then I got hired at Deloitte. Worked there for about a year and the family was growing. Okay. The family was growing. I think we had one kid when I started Ernst & Young, we had two by the end of it. And then, our third was on the way when I started working with Deloitte. Thankfully there was a job that was close by. So all these consulting firms, just FYI, they make you travel Monday through Thursday, at least back in the day, pre-COVID. I don't know what it is now, but, it was Monday through Thursday and my wife was having a hard time. She had a full-time job and it's not easy raising kids. Let's be real about it. That's a full-time job in and of itself. So basically when she realized, oh, you can be close to home and still make pretty good money at these consulting firms, well, let's just keep you home. So basically the objective came, instead of saying, I'm going to try to progress and scale up the corporate ladder, it became, how can I stay closer to home and still like support us financially? Yeah. Worked there at Deloitte. And then I was like, okay. The project was wrapping up at the company, at the client that was close by. So it was about an hour away from my house. And I was like, okay, gosh, I got to figure this out. This is a literally lightning bolt, godsend, divine intervention. Seriously. Guy messaged me on LinkedIn. I worked with him at Ernst & Young. His name's Dennis. I don't know if he wants me to tell this, but he pinged me and said, hey, Luke, you know what? We had this project. It's up in Detroit. Well, Detroit's about an hour away from my house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what? So of course I went up there, had lunch with him. He described the project. It was stuff I was already doing in the SAP landscape. Yeah. It's like, yeah, why don't you come up here? I'm like, okay, great. Oh, yes. So during this time, I get bored easily. So I was out venturing and exploring and doing some crazy stuff and taking out a bunch of personal loans and putting us in a bunch of debt, basically. Very bad decision-making. Was not good at taking no for an answer. And I kept sinking money into something that was not giving me any return. Mm-hmm. You could think of it like day trading, crypto, whatever you want to call it. Basically, not very healthy, not a very healthy financial thing to do. But, let's put it that way. Yeah. What happened was once I got that job up there in Detroit, I realized, push came to shove, what ended up happening is the banks said, we're not giving you any more money, Luke. You already took out like five personal loans in the last like 6 months. No more. So basically what ended up happening is I owed all these banks and I'm like, I owe the banks a lot of money and I already have a full-time job. That's already supporting our current lifestyle, our current needs. So basically I was like, okay, I need to do something outside of my current job or like my family's going to suffer for all my mistakes, basically.
How many kids at this point?
So I think we had three kids at this point.
Wow, serious stuff, man.
Oh yeah, young. And it was like, he was young. I think he was like, just born or something like this. And, you know, there's a lot of shame and guilt around this, but I processed all of that, got through that. But again, I learned a lot of lessons through that too. I was trying to get the fast money, basically was the whole point of this initiative. That was the mindset behind it. And I always knew I wanted to do my own thing, but you kind of have to be careful about what that own thing is and whether or not that's actually like a vehicle for success. Because whatever I was doing was not. It didn't help. I had a bunch of things I hadn't processed either myself, as far as like an individual, emotionally, mentally, you know, traumas and things of that nature. Yeah. Again, get therapy, get into groups, like, you know, help yourself out, do yourself a favor. Everyone's got trauma.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. So from a professional standpoint, I was like, okay, I need to generate like $2,000 a month. I need to generate $2,000 a month, which at that point was significant. Mm. And also not to mention, I had that full-time job working 40 hours and commuting about 2 hours a day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing, what ended up happening is I took some odd and end jobs doing $15, $20 an hour. So I was doing, at first I was doing Facebook post rating. So I don't know if y'all have heard this or you've heard but basically there's a subcontractor of Facebook and they subcontracted like another subcontractor, which is me. And they send you a post and say, hey, Luke, what do you think about this post? Tell me about what the category it is, whether or not you like it, whether or not you would actually want to see this post again. All these different things. You have to rate it completely based on your own experience. This basically was helping feed their algorithm, right? Is the algorithm doing a good job on Facebook or not?
Yeah.
I did that for a while. And then there was a Google Map. I think it was Google Maps service or like a Google location service, which is like, hey, this is the query. Does this anywhere close to what this person was looking for? Similar type of job. The problem with these types of jobs, and I realized very quickly, is that I was a rat race because I'm like, they're getting on the Facebook thing, it was like 10 or 15 cents a post. So the thing is, not only to be super high quality, you had to move so fast in order to get that hourly rate. It wasn't like you're just getting $20 an hour. It's no, every single post you do is like 15. So like you're literally racing against the clock. You want to talk about racing against the clock? That's like definition.
Yeah.
Because I needed the money too. Basically, I realized, and I'm like, this is not going to work. I'm going to need that. I'm going to do something else where like I physically cannot be here long enough to make $2,000. I don't have 100 hours a month basically to give. That's like 25 hours a week. So basically, I discovered drop shipping. I also fail at that, by the way. I have a lot of failure. This is a classic entrepreneurship journey, by the
way. I'm loving it. Honestly, so, you're ticking the boxes, man. I love it.
Like,
this is all incredible, by the way. I just want to, before we even get into the good stuff, good for you, Luke. This redemption is unreal. But sorry, carry on.
So just to be clear, I literally owed more than our first house. I'm not really bragging about that. Literally owed like, I think it was like 10 or 15% more than our first house. It's 20% more, something like this. So literally like the hole was massive. This wasn't just like, Luke owes like $30,000. No. Like I owed like $165,000 to a bunch of different banks, basically. So like just that fact alone. And the thing is, you have two options, right? You can either say, oh gosh, like how dare these banks loan me money, and you can play victim. But I kind of decided they don't care. And no one gives a crap that like they, like I made the decision. I took out the loans. I spent the money in the way I did. No one's going to come save me, right? Other than basically myself and maybe some close people around me or some mentors or God, right? Like connection with God is definitely important, I would say too. Nobody's gonna say, oh, poor Luke, let me just erase that. That's not happening, right? I knew that. So I decided to take action and not just mess around. So this is something I notice, I think, when people are like, hey, I want to change my situation or I need to do X, just try, just do something. And yeah, it might look stupid and it might be stupid actually, but at least you're making a step in the right direction. At least you're giving yourself a chance to win, right? If you're like analyzing and trying to figure out the best way to make money online and just researching, well, you're not gonna really make any money online, right? You're just gonna keep learning, but like there's no application. You're not gonna actually get money in the bank by just looking around and doing nothing.
No, and so. The fear of regret isn't a thing. It shouldn't be a thing. And I saw a post, I can't remember, Gary V, I can never pronounce his surname, but he basically said, we are on Earth for such a small amount of time and we are off for such a massive amount of time. It's too insignificant to be worried about embarrassment when it comes to trying something new, when the chips are down, when you need it. One of the questions I got the other day on an Ask Me Anything was, where did I find the courage to start? And I didn't have the courage. It was necessity. When you and I spoke, there was so much that you and I had in common, and it was this stuff, wasn't it? But when you got going, you knew, right, this has got to count. I'm going to do it properly.
It's like a stair step, right? Like I think doing drop shipping and selling things online was step like 20. Well, I had to start at step one. Otherwise I would have never gotten to that step. So people out there in the world just need to realize that you got to start. And fortunately, you have to start and like stumble upon yourself and like in the dark with like a small flashlight. And like, yeah, it's not going to go too well probably in the beginning. But the whole point is that it's a staircase and that you get to make these steps up and up, right? So
that's it. But
anyway,
you had done so many sort of the attempts at the get rich quick stuff. And the fact that you went, nope, that didn't work. I'm going to do it properly. It will be slow. And you went in with your eyes open, knowing that these mistakes were going to definitely happen. Whereas a couple of years ago, that might have been enough for you to go, no, I'm not even trying that. So yeah, maybe you needed to switch that mindset on.
I think so. I think to your point, I needed the money. And it's like, there wasn't like if you fail, then you can stop. It's like, hey, if you fail, you have to try something else. You can't just fail and just stop, right? Because I think you're right. I think that definitely switched something in me mentally where it's like, hey, back against the wall, I'm fighting my way out of this, whether I die trying, kind of deal. Yeah. So I did the drop shipping thing. What's funny about that is at that point, I remember I had like $2,500 to the names. Like you want to call this like an entrepreneurship fund or a business fund, I would say. I think I had like $2,500. I kept starting drop shipping stores over and over and over again, failed every single time, basically. That was early on. I think I did like 10 different brands. None of them worked. Well, I'm a nerd. Like I at least at that point, I didn't know how to sell anything. I didn't have any marketing skills. I didn't have any video editing or any sort of copywriting skills or anything that's actually required to sell something online. So I basically, worst case scenario still happened. I went to zero. I lost all of it, basically, trying to do drop shipping. I literally had to go ask my wife. I said, I need money to pay the banks this month. And that was just like, that was actually almost worse than what I had to tell her that I owed six figures plus to the banks, because it's almost like I failed again, right? It's like, this really sucks. So, but I did have a light bulb moment. I said, you know what? I may not be able to sell anything, but I know how to build all the stuff. I'm a tech guy. I know how to build everything behind the scenes. I know how to get the products onto the stores from the drop shippers. I know how to code the websites. I know how to make them look, at that point, okay, I would say, but at least better than what people can do by themselves, more or less.
Yeah.
So I put my profile on Upwork and was charging a similar rate, like $20-25 an hour. And that's how I got my shtick in e-commerce about like 5-6 years ago. That's where I started.
Wow. And how's things going now? Are you in a better position than you were?
I'm definitely in a better position. I'm not where I want to be, of course. But
not
that's
yet.
Almost everybody's answer.
Exactly right.
It's a journey, right? Like, we're definitely in a much better position. Like, that whole situation is gone, done and dusted. Basically, I was able to pay that off. Like, I was able to progress from the $20 an hour to 50. I have this little secret, and this is something you can use if you're in the service industry. If you get too busy, you're not charged enough, basically. If you feel overwhelmed, you got too many clients, double it, or like 1.5x your rate. And if people pay it, great, just keep doing that, right? So that was like a little bit of a secret, a little bit like a rate hack I was using, not really knowing any better. I'm just like, hey, I'm just going to try to charge double. And if other people hire me, great, I'll just take them on as clients too.
Yeah, why not?
So
why not?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. And like, we very well know the current clients would not probably be jiving with that, but that's okay. That's part of the progression. And you outgrow clients, you outgrow relationships, you outgrow friendships. But yeah, eventually got to a point where now I'm like probably one of the best experts when it comes to Shopify and Upwork platform. So that's a big platform for us as far as like lead generation. And I actually left my job last year. I don't think I've made that point.
No, but well done.
I worked at General Motors for 6 years at that point.
These are some big companies you work for, Luke. I've heard of these.
Yeah,
I've heard of all of these.
Ernst & Young, Deloitte, General Motors. Anyway. And what did I do? I left and started my own company. That's basically the situation. So now I run my own e-commerce company. It's called Dextech. And we build, design, do conversion rate optimizations. We do really techie stuff like APIs and things of that nature. But anyway, so yeah, that's where we're at. Do this every single day now. So
incredible. And I'm guessing it doesn't necessarily feel like work so much anymore, does it?
Nah, not really. Like some days it does, I will say. Like there's some things I don't want to do in the company. But I think in general, I get a lot more excited. I think I've grown more in the past year than I think I have my adulthood, basically, because I think a lot of it is like my avoiding. I like to avoid my problems and not address them and not like work through them. But I think this past year has been more about like actually facing them head on and getting the right people. Again, I'm big on community. I'm big on mentorship. So finding the right mentors, finding the right community was big for me.
Yeah.
And then also continuously working things with my wife too, because, you know, hey, like that, that wasn't exactly an easy journey for her either. Me kind of going through all of that roller coaster ride of emotions and everything else. Right. And even to this day, like things are still a bit of a roller coaster ride. Like the income is not at the companies, right? You get a paycheck, you get $4,000 every 2 weeks. Here you go. Right. Sweet. I don't have to do much of anything. That's a little bit different. You have to say, hey, yeah, we have like $50,000 in the bank, but guess what? Here's our run rate. And that runs out in like, you know, 3-4 months from now. So what happens, right? So it's definitely a different sort of perspective shift, and it still has its challenges, but I don't think I would do anything differently at this point, even though this is not as easy, right? This is not as easy as being at a corporate, a big corporation that can kind of shield you from bad sales months, down quarters, whatever you want to call it. They still pay you,
right?
Yeah, you could.
If we have a down quarter, I have to like figure out, well, can we take that hit? What do we do if that happens? Right? These sorts of things.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Not. I want to be quick disclaimer if to my job, if they're listening, not that I ever do this, but if I'm ever hungover or if I've ever had a bad night with the kids, you could put your feet up, have an easier day, and you can still guarantee that money comes back, can't you?
That is so true.
And when you're working for yourself, all of a sudden, it's not that you're chasing the money. It's the same thing. You have naturally found a business that plays to your strengths. When you put it in an hour, if I'm working for my day job for an hour that isn't necessarily playing to the same strengths that I have carved out for myself, I feel I'm procrastinating. I'm struggling to get motivated. I'm questioning what I'm doing because I can't understand how that links to that objective. But when I'm working for myself and I know everything that I'm doing is working objective that I set because I wanted it, and I know that I can play on my strengths, which is mostly going into a room and talking at people, Luke, let's be honest.
Good strength. Hey, let's go.
But it's funny because I'm the same. I've never been in retail in my life. And I was flipping things on Amazon. And it's the stuff that I've done outside of that that has made everything fall into place. And whereas you are, what's the best word? Where your faith, to be honest with you, where you've got your faith in God, I am manifesting through the law of attraction, the universe, whatever it is. It may well be God. But it's the same thing. You know this is going to work. You're putting your faith in something. And when you're working towards it, that something is giving you what you need, whether you know it or not.
So
and it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the key. And I've said this before, maybe not in any sort of podcast, but I'm like, forget logic, throw that out the window for a second and listen to your heart, listen to your soul, listen to your body and what it's trying to tell you. Because I think too often we are trying to math things that shouldn't be maths. It's like, oh, if I leave this job, can I get the same result and this sort of income and this sort of salary? It's like that matters to an extent, yes. But at the same time, if your body or like if your mind is saying, hey, you should be somewhere else, you're feeling stuck, you're not feeling like you're in the right place, you got to change something about your situation, right? And do something, like I said, not maybe on the outside looking in, doesn't seem very bright. You know, this guy is making Sixers plus at some of these companies and he's leaving there and like taking all this risk with four kids and a bunch of mouths to feed, including his own. Yeah. That's insane. That's actually insane, but good. Like that's good. That means I'm potentially on the right path, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing what I feel like is on my heart and what is being put on my mind.
Exactly right. So. And it's a hell of a story. It's a hell of a story.
Yeah. Not every day you talk to someone who went from, you know, six figures in debt and basically erased all of that the past like 6 years and then started to run their own company.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, not every day is very easy. It's not like, I don't want to make people think that like, oh, it's just like every day is like super ABC. Every day is freaking different. And if anything, it's even more challenging than just holding down a job, I would say. So it's not for everybody. And I would only say, do the things that are put on your heart. Like if you say, oh, I should leave my job, be an entrepreneur because I want to make money. Not a good place to come from, I would say. Like that's not, you're not going to last very long because it's like, you're not going to just make money right away. There is no such thing as fast money. You can get lucky, of course. Maybe there is such thing, but it's like a very small percentage of people where this happens.
That's it.
So
that's
actually building something that has value and like is a longer term vehicle is not going to just happen overnight.
No, that's right. I remember when I first got going, there was like some guy was going live on TikTok. And he was almost doing an exercise saying, right, close your eyes and think about your actual purpose. What is your purpose? And it's not to make money. It's not to do, it's usually based in community, whether that's your family or whether it's your friends or something like that. And it was only then when I realized, and I just started selling on Amazon, that my purpose has always been relationship building, community building, you know, networking. It's always been that thing. And I thought, right, I need to find a way to implement that in this Amazon business. The same way that you tried dropshipping and went, right, that's not my purpose. I'm actually a tech guy. I'll use the dropshipping model as a way to forge a business playing to my strengths. That is amazing, though, that you did that and you had the sight to go, right, let's shift. That's not working, but this could work. And you sort of...
Yeah, what do we say about entrepreneurship? It's all about pivoting.
Yeah,
that's right. What people say.
Yeah. I've never heard
that. I think be careful. Yeah, be careful about that because you don't want to pivot too much, right? Because you can also get shiny object syndrome where you're like, oh, that's not it. This is it. It's, I think to your point, it's being in alignment with who you are and what you can do. Yeah. And this is, my dad always told me this. He's like, Luke, just do what you're good at. Stop trying to sell products. That's not really your thing. I'm like, yeah, you're actually right about that. My thing is like these situations, one-on-one, right? Or just like actually taking a third party perspective to sell a product on somebody else's store is so much easier. They have a business already. They have a model. I see things that they don't see, basically.
Yeah.
And now I've gotten much better at sales because like that's part of the gig. We got to help people make money.
Yeah.
I actually got dropshipping to work eventually, but guess what? It was not by myself.
Oh, no.
It was with a mentor. So, and that company actually still runs today. It's much smaller in nature, but like the first year it did almost seven figures, basically, wow, which is kind of insane.
That is. What year was that? Was that recently?
That wasn't very recent. I think it was like 2020. It was like right before, I would say right before COVID.
Right.
So it was like 2019, something like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got it to work. But again, it wasn't even my, by myself. That's another thing I realized. And when I took out this journey a year ago, I knew I can't do this by myself. What the hell am I? Who the hell am I? Right. So when I took that leap of faith, I knew that I was going to need to surround myself with other entrepreneurs, other people that have done this before. And they could give me good advice. And I think that's the only reason I'm at where I'm at today.
Yeah.
Is through those mentorships and those communities.
Likewise. And I can't bang that drum enough. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your experiences are. There is something you have got that you can bring to the table that can help somebody. And
yes.
I was the same. So when my audience started building on the various socials, I knew then that I could go to very experienced people and say, right, help me. And I can do this for you. You know, there needs to be some leverage. Of course there does. But the fact that you had that specific swell, that bolstered everything, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you had to have some confidence in yourself too. I think to your point, you got to have some gusto. You got to be like, I am the best. I am good at this. I know what I'm doing. Right. And I think if you don't have that level of confidence in yourself, and you may not in the beginning, that's fine. Then don't try to charge too much.
No.
But like you gotta have like a little, like I would even say, even if let's say I worked on big commerce, which I don't know as well as Shopify, let's say, but I know I can figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I think that level of confidence has to come from you, not necessarily like your skills, if that makes sense. I think to your point, hey, I know I'm good at talking to people. I know I'm good at building Amazon stores, whatever it is, right? I know I'm good at building stuff, let's just say. So I could build a Shopify store if I wanted to, even though I just know Amazon, right? So when I say confidence, it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, that specific one thing. It's like, this is what I do. This is what I do well. And it's a generic thing, though. It's not like, I'm really good at like email marketing for tobacco shops. It's like, oh, okay, like great. But like, that's only going to work in like a very, very small subset. So like, you better be just good at emails, or you better just be good about like writing convincing copy, right? So.
That's it. Yeah, and yeah.
So you want to niche down first, but then you want to kind of take a lens back, I think, to your point, and say, what am I just generically good at?
Yes.
And I think that's a really good precursor to understanding what you should be doing with your life.
I think that's really, really good advice, especially way over in this country. English are terrible at self-confidence. They're so scared of arrogance. They won't touch confidence just in case it steps over the line, you know? But the people that I
same here in the States. I think it's very similar. Well, you go on Instagram, you might see a different story, but I'm just saying, generically speaking, a common person that you run across, they're not going
to. Yeah, of course,
they're not going to do.
No, it's probably because we've been same in story. The West. We've been beaten down so much. Probably it's probably where that was gone. But
you're so bad. You got a D. Yeah. You got an F. Stop talking out in class. Yeah. There's a lot of like no's here.
That's right. And we're taught to hate each other. That's the crazy thing. So everyone talks down to you. And eventually you think, oh, am I that guy? You can't help it. But it goes back to the affirmations, doesn't it? It goes back to your faith. It's you saying, I know I'm going to make this work. I know that I can talk to people and get connected to them in a way where we can build relationships. I know. And again, it's not arrogance. It's backing yourself. It's having faith in yourself and putting into action, believing that you can do it. And my generation, I'm in my 40s now. Again, it's a big sea change, but it's the thing that can change the most and generate the most success for you. I'm certain of that. I completely agree with you.
And not only professionally, I would say I'm a completely different person than I was a year ago. I would say, like, sure, I learned the business stuff early on, but I think even more so now, it's more about being better on a personal level, being better on an emotional level with my kids, with my wife. And like, that's really hard, by the way. That's really difficult for me just because the way I am. But that's something like I'm still trying to work on. Right. But I'm like, I don't think I would be necessarily in the position I'm in without like going on this journey of exploratory, like discovery, basically. I would call it like self-discovery.
And
there are days I think I'm like, man, am I really that crazy? Did I really do this? Right. But I had to wake myself up. Yes, I really did it. And yeah, it's the time is now, baby.
Yeah.
Like you got to get it going here. So anyway,
I do love it though. Cause if you look back a year ago and you start and you think if this version of me knew who this guy was, I mean, here I am at 7:30 over in the UK drinking water out of a bottle. This would be a beer any day of the week.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, I definitely stopped all forms of like not being sober. Basically, I'll have like a glass of wine here and there, and like that's pretty much it. Like, and under certain circumstances, my wife and I are going out. We went to a winery the other night. Okay, I'm not going to go to a winery and just have like a sparkling water. Could you imagine? That kind of seems ridiculous. Yeah. I can't. I actually can't. But I think in general, yeah. To your point, it's like, how do I treat myself with love? How do I love myself? Because you love yourself, I think in turn that creates self-confidence. Yeah. You can't really hate yourself into like confidence, I don't think. I think you need to actually love yourself at some level and saying, actually, I do look pretty good with my shirt off. Or like, actually, I'm pretty good at e-commerce. Actually, I'm really good at tech, right? Like to your point, those are bit affirmations. But I think that's actually where like true self-confidence actually comes from. You can't just like every day if you wake up and you say, you're a piece of crap. You can't do that. You can't do this. What are you, crazy? You know, you left that job. That was really stupid, right? If I start beating myself up, I think I'll have absolutely zero self-confidence. And there's something to be said. If I get in a room on like a sales call with a prospect and they think that I'm not very confident and I don't even think I can do what I'm telling them I can do, even if I try to fake it until I make it, they can sense that. There's like a level of frequency there. Like they can definitely tell that like, I'm not going to be too like uppity, right? My verbiage and how I say things is not going to be quite right. But basically they have a good radar on these things. And so you can't like this idea of faking it till you make it, I think is all kind of messed up in my opinion. I would say help yourself so you can make it, right? Love yourself, learn like the things you're good at to your point. Work through some things in therapy and like realize, dig up some of those old skeletons and throw them out of your closet because you can't just stuff them in there forever. You're going to be really in trouble if that's the case.
Exactly.
Your closet all is going to suddenly become your room and then you don't even have anywhere to go. Just giving yourself some kudos.
Yeah.
Give yourself some kudos. You're a unique individual and you have unique gifts and abilities given to you from God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. You can do things that other people can't do. That's just really matter of fact.
Absolutely.
I think the West likes to tell us you're a drone. You're easily replaceable. That's all a bunch of garbage. Yeah. I think that's actually BS.
It is.
I think it's just a tactic to keep us in that job, right? Oh, we could just replace you. It's like, oh, okay, crap. I better do really good job and work 50 hours and stay late and make sure I stay until 6:30 so I don't get fired. Like, they can't replace you. Let's be real. Anytime a company fires somebody, it's a big deal and there's issues and there's problems that come with it. And everybody else has to pick up the pieces. Exactly. Let's just be real about
exactly
that.
Exactly right. And whatever your portfolio is, you're working it in a unique way that someone will take months to figure out. And it's just not worth the company wasting all that money in figuring that out. I love it.
Don't want to turn this into a bragging session, but I think you're totally spot on about like giving yourself some freaking credit and don't let people like push you down and say, oh, you're not that good.
No.
It's like, I know I'm good.
That's it. Because naturally your brain beats you up. It naturally does. And I often talk about this, saying you would never speak to your best friend the way you talk to yourself. So why don't you talk to yourself the same way you would talk to your best friend and just see how much it makes you feel? If you're on the treadmill, you can't make this last 10 minutes, you fat piece. You know, you can't be doing that. Encourage them. Go on, mate, you can do it. You know, if you have to say it out loud, who cares if you sound a bit weird? But just if you don't want to, just say it in your own head. But it makes a difference. It really does.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that brings up another point for me. I know we've been very tangential, by the way, but I think being weird is great because everybody's a little unique and weird, right? I think we need to embrace the weird. I think that's the other stigma. We're all like, oh, if I do that, it's going to be a little weird. Great. be weird, you know, do something different, do something like awkward or like that isn't quite right.
Yeah.
That's great. We need more of that in our lives.
I'll tell you what,
that's what makes things fun.
My eyesight, I needed a new prescription for my eyes and I went and got some glasses and it was, do I put these ones on? And let's face it, these are Chevy Chase from Fletch, you know, or do I just go for a bog standard pair of, I thought, no, I'm going to go a bit Larry with my glasses. They're just little things. They matter. They really do.
Yeah, because then guess what? People are going to remember Dez for those weird glasses if you wore like normal looking glasses. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like then it's like, okay, cool. Some random guy on YouTube or Spotify that's wearing some normal glasses. Okay. Hey, remember that Dez guy?
Yeah, check out the weird glasses guy. I like him. Exactly.
Chevy Chase 2.0 over here.
I love it. I love that whole chat. We're definitely going to have Luke back on because the whole point of him coming on was to actually promote what it is he does. But his story was so great, we knew we were running out of time. So, Luke, you are going to come back on, mate, and we are going to do more about Dextech and we're going to talk about what it is you actually do. However, in the meantime, if you want to learn more and this is a world that you want to get in, I'm putting the show notes down there. So clearly a guy that knows his stuff and you invest in people, don't you? If I ever need to go down that road, he's the guy that I'm speaking to. It's the fact that having been in this corporate world, and there are two different types of story when it comes to this. You've got the people that have always been entrepreneurs, and fair play to them because they saw the light much sooner than we did. And then you have the other people that worked the corporate life because they believed in what they were being sold for a long old time. And despite doing really well in the jobs that you had and reel out those companies that Luke worked for, Deloitte, Ernst & Young, General Motors, you read out the companies that I've worked for, public sector, especially the police, civil servants. How is it that you're working those jobs, you're doing everything that you need to do, but you are running out of money? Not only that, you're accruing debt just to live the life that you're told you should be living. We only get one of them. It's enough. And when the straw that breaks the camel's back happens, and that can be anything depending on who you are and what your circumstances are, you know you are never looking back. And there is only one way out, and that's you digging in and making it happen. And again, listen to the story. Dropshipping failed, dropshipping failed, dropshipping failed. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. He knew that model was going to work, but he just needed to find the thing that lit that spark in him that made him think, you know what, that's what's going to work. I know. I'm a nerd. Why don't I do IT in that realm? And he flew. Away he went. And now it doesn't feel like work anymore. Tip of the week. For the love of all that's holy, will you please back yourself? Put confidence in yourself. Know the line between confidence and arrogance, but even if you trip over that line, who cares? Who cares? Love yourself. Know who you are and be okay with that. You are not as bad as you think you are because that voice in your head is savage and you are not that. And anybody that ever knows you are not that thing that you tell yourself. So start backing yourself. Start looking at your skill set and thinking, right, what is it I do that I know can help? And this is where it's vital. Having worked in the police and having a wife that worked as a secondary school teacher and having a 25-year career in public sector, I'm talking to you public sector types out there in this, you will be told, no matter what your skill set, that you are a number. In the police, you are beaten down. You are told that you won't be employable. You are told this is your job. You will be here till you retire. You sign up to it. It's like you're groomed into a career. People count down. How many years you got left? 23. Not, I've only been here 10. You're still counting down the next 23 years. People have calendars on their desk. And they forget that they are so hardworking because a 70-hour week in some of these jobs is normal. You put that in the private sector, I'm telling you, you are gold. Communication skills, ability to detail. This is vital. The ability to write down really complicated bits of information like fraud and present them to people that don't know fraud, like a jury. That is so vital. And I know I'm talking specifically about the police here, but I don't care whether you're a firefighter, you still have to write those things up. I know you do. Whether you're a teacher, the things you need to promote and then translate so children can understand it. These are skills that you've got. So don't play yourself down. Start backing yourself and start looking to see the things you can actually do. Tip of the week. That's the episode this week. I'll tell you what we're going to do next week. We're going to start talking about a thing that is showing up more and more and more and more on my radar. Let's talk about TikTok Shop. Yes. Oh, yes. This might surprise you. But for the last few months, and I've not said a word about this, I have been doing a lot of research and heavy lifting when it comes to negotiating contacts, engagement, networking, all of that stuff that I constantly bang on about. Yes, I've been doing it in the background with TikTok Shop. And we are going to be making TikTok Shop a big, big aspect of everything Goodbye Poor and Hello Rich stands for going forward. Because it's real. Trust me on this. Have a look. How many Amazon sellers do you know are either doing TikTok Shop as well or leaving Amazon entirely to go on TikTok Shop? Trust me on this. We all talk about wishing we could get onto Amazon quicker. We wish we could do this quicker. We wish it was 5 years ago and we could start Amazon. Well, look at TikTok Shop. Look at it now. It's about 18 months to 2 years old. It is the fastest growing platform for social media. The sales on TikTok Shop are insane. It's just right now is the key time. So we are moving on it right now. I'll tell you more next week. I'll leave you on that little cliffhanger. In the meantime, bring the music in. Come on, let's go. We've got 3 weeks left of the summer holiday. Come on, dig deep. I believe in you. Take care. Ta-da.
You've been listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Make sure you join us next time for more real talk and some undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor.